This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, some pertinent information for your pet's best possible health and a dog's eye view of life, then a unique way to honor your pet in print. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get to it.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Monica Layton, and she has our pet tip of the week, and she's the owner of Professional Pet Sitting.
Hi, good morning. So this week coming up is National Pet ID Week. It's actually the 15th through the 21st of April. So I wanted to give everybody some tips on pet IDs. One thing, you know, we've talked about in the past that I always want to encourage is microchipping. Every pet should definitely be microchipped, and make sure that not only you're chipped, but make sure that you are registered. That is the most important thing, because so many people get microchips and then they move or they forget to register the pet, and then that microchip does absolutely nothing. So just kind of as a refresher, microchips are very small. They're about the size of a piece of rice, and it's embedded in the back of the neck between the shoulder blades. And what it is it's actually a code number. It's usually made up of numbers and letters, but that chip does not actually store all of your information. A lot of people get confused about that. It stores the number. So that number, when a vet's office or an animal rescue or whoever scans that microchip with the scanner, they're going to get that number. They're going to call into the microchip registry and they're going to give them that number, and then your information is going to be given from there. So that's why you always want to make sure that you contact the registry anytime you move, anytime you have a phone number change. That way they have the correct information and it's always up to date. The other thing is, always have a ID tag on your pet as well. Having a microchip is wonderful. You should definitely have one. But if the pet gets loose somewhere and it's after hours or somebody locally finds them, they're not going to have scanners on them. So at least having, you know, the pet's name, your phone number, that can oftentimes get that pet back to you very quickly. That way you don't have to have the complication of them, you know, going to a vet, waiting for them to open, scanning the pet, or bringing them to a rescue. That way they get home faster to you. Always utilize if the pet becomes lost, you know, the lost pet reports. Look in your area. A lot of areas have lost pet Facebook groups, things of that nature. So that way your pet can always get home to you. But pet identification is so vitally important to getting your pets home safe. And lastly, I always recommend if your pet has a major medical illness, let's say they're diabetic and they require insulin, or they're epileptic and they're on medications, I always recommend putting that on your pet ID tag. Maybe one side have, you know, the pet's name and the phone number, and the opposite side engrave, you know, a medical alert. That way, if somebody does find your pet, then they are aware that that pet needs medical care for that disease, especially if it's something, you know, as serious as diabetes, to where they can get into issues when they don't receive insulin. That way, if the pet ever becomes loose, you know, and they're found, then they know to seek medical care for that pet.
Well, that's a great idea. And I think that years ago when we were when we started working together on the hurricanes, we both discovered the importance of the microchip and the importance of also leaving your pet's ID on them too, if they're found locally. And one of the things you brought up that I find really interesting and very important, because so many pets do, they may be diabetic, they may have certain medical needs that they need, they may be epileptic, to get that on the ID tag. That is so great. That's a great idea, Monica. So as always, you bring us great information. I thank you very much and have a great week.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
Coming up, wonder how your dog sees life's experiences? Stay tuned.
When Helen Brown ran away to New York City 5 years ago, she had no idea that a homeless cat with a punk rock haircut and enough catitude to light up the Empire State Building would be the one to teach her the true meaning of love. and a forever home. In the tradition of her internationally best-selling memoir, Cleo, Helen Brown's Bono, the amazing story of a rescue cat who inspired a community, is a heartwarming true story about a woman without an anchor, a homeless cat without much hope, and finding a forever home in the city that never sleeps. Modern Cat magazine calls Bono an uplifting tale about how everyone deserves love and a second chance. Bono by Helen Brown is on sale now everywhere.
Hey, cat people. Litter box smells always on your mind? Think about your cat, not the box, with World's Best Cat Litter, the litter that delivers big odor control in a tiny package. World's Best Cat Litter harnesses the concentrated power of corn to trap odors deep inside the litter. Ready to knock out smells and use less litter? Find World's Best Cat Litter at Target, Walmart, and in your local grocery and pet stores.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Now, there's a book that I really loved, and it helped get me through some of my hard times with my pets. So from the author of four-time Amazon bestseller, Just This Side of Heaven, there's a new book that's out and touching so many parents, pet parents' heart. And I have with me today Tim Glass, who brings us his latest book. It's lighthearted. It's a great read from a very special dog's eye view. That all of you will agree that it's very entertaining, it's heartwarming, and it's a great read for pet parents everywhere. And we have Tim with us today. Welcome, Tim. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. And how are you doing?
Very good, thanks. Now, for the listeners who may not be familiar, because you've been writing for quite a while and you have a cartoon series, you have a children's book series, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Basically, I'm a graduate of the University of New Mexico, and yes, that is part of the United States for those people that don't know that. I can't tell you how many times I have been on shows or introduced myself, and people think, oh, Mexico. No, this is New Mexico, between Texas and Arizona. I basically have always had a love for writing. I started out as a journalist with over 400 manuscripts to my credit, but I always wanted to write about the dogs. And they basically dedicated, their life to training me. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from.
Well, and you do have a great array of fur kids to talk about, past and present. Can you tell us a little bit about your fur kids, which happen to be beagles? And though I have Italian greyhounds, I do have a little Chihuahua in here in my mix of rescues, and she has the Beagle Bay. I just want you to know that. She has, well, my whole neighborhood can hear it. They always go, do you have a beagle in there? No, I have a little chihuahua. But she's got a little bit of beagle envy going on. So tell us about your fur kids.
It started with rescuing a little beagle during rush hour for me. I was just I think I was last year of high school. And there was a little puppy out on in the middle of a highway in rush hour. You can imagine, maybe 6-7 inches tall. And this poor little thing was just running back and forth and back and forth, and people were honking. So I just pulled over and ran out there. I was young and stupid at that point, where you don't think anything can happen to you. But it didn't matter. It was like this poor little puppy needed somebody to rescue him. And he would happen to be a beagle. And his name, I named him Toby, and that started me with beagles. And then it went from, in my adult life, I had Chelsea and Brandy, and they were both very, very strong personalities. And then when I lost both of them 9 months apart, I was pretty much devastated. And I was a member of a group, which I strongly suggest any listener become a member of a group of like-minded people, pet owners, that can help you through some of those things. Back when I lost Brandy and Chelsea, I had people telling me that, well, it's just a dog. No, it is not just a dog when you lose one. And the next pet in my life was Gunner. I got a call from a breeder, a responsible breeder, that basically made everybody sign a contract that if you were going to, for whatever reason, get rid of the pet, you had to contact her. And this lady won the dog in a divorce, but she didn't want the dog. So she was going to put Gunner down. And so they called me instantly. I went out there and I adopted him in a heartbeat. And he was just the light of my life. I couldn't tell you. In fact, when I met my wife, Kathy, I lost him to her because he was a mama's boy. But from Gunner, that, you know, once Kathy and I met, I was the adopted dad of Penny and Panda. So, and you can imagine, I was, they were daddy's girls, so we exchanged dogs, I guess you could say.
You know what? It's kind of like weird, Tim. It's like the blended family, and especially in reading your books with you and Kathy, you like became, like with, you know, real children, we have the blended families. You guys became the blended family, and I think that happens so much in, you know, pet parents' lives. It's like you come together, your lives come together. Well, the pets are definitely coming together. And I think that what you're saying is something that is so it's so great to hear, because I love hearing about the blended pet families, and you guys were you're one of my favorites.
Well, you know, and too, so many times I read or I have people contact me that they've met a guy or a woman that, you know, they really hit it off, but, and there's always that but. Mm-hmm. And you can read between the lines where I'm going with this, is that my boyfriend or my girlfriend does not like pets. And, you know, I have one thing to say, is that, you know, that's part of your life and it's a package deal. You wouldn't expect someone to get rid of their children if you met them. Exactly. So they are extensions of our family. And I mean, for Kathy and I mean, our kids are all grown now, and our fur kids are our fur kids. They're our family. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, people say, well, they have you well trained. Well, yes, they do. But, you know, they are our children. So
that's why I call them fur kids. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is your new book, which is Dog Knows Best. And the book was written through the voice of one of your fur kids. Can you tell us about, number one, tell me the inspiration for that, and then tell us a little about this fur kid, because, you know, she was a little force to be reckoned with.
That is true. As we were talking before the interview, you know, Penny was a wisdom figure. When we would go for book signings or anything like that, the kids would always, it was surprising, they would ask Penny questions. Mm-hmm. However, they would clown around with Panda. And Panda had a personality that just, I think that's why she lived to be almost 17 years old. If she didn't like something, you were well aware of it. And that's just the way it was. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. She would let you know if you did something wrong or didn't do it on time or anything like that. I mean, I wouldn't have known how to write a book about Panda except through her point of view. And so, you know, even when I started the children's series, it was crazy. My wife didn't know that I had started the children's series. Panda and the fur kids would come up into my office. We lived in a two-story. They'd come up to the office, and I was trained by my mentors to read out loud to see how the words flowed on the page. Well, Panda got used to that. Well, on the weekends, I wouldn't write. She'd stand at top of the stairway, and just a roo or bark. And she was demanding that I come up there, and Kathy was like, well, what's going on? You know, she had no clue what Panda was doing. And what it was is she was so used to me reading to her that, you know, she wanted me to come up there day in, day out and read to her. So, she was a very demanding, a little pup. And I don't mean that in a bad way. She was so
it's
cute
endearing.
The way she would do it.
It was like an endearing
one. Exactly.
And you know what, Tim, I got to say, as I was going through her book, you know, I'm reading her little perspective on things, and she has perspective on daylight savings time, on walks, on, the rescue and all different things. But her perspective is, I could identify a lot with my kids as having the perspective that Panda's verbalizing.
I've had people say to me that I'm a beagle whisperer. I don't think it's breed specific. If you are around your pets and you really pay it, now I'm not talking about the guy that chains his dog to a tree out in the backyard or just leaves the dog in the backyard, feeds him once or twice a day, and that's it. We're not that type of family. So I watch them, and I visually take in everything that they're doing. And my honorary mother used to tell me, you know exactly what they're thinking. So, and we used to joke because she used to always bug me when I was a journalist, please do the Beagle books. And I'd say, well, I'll get to it. Well, Susan, it took being hit and almost killed by a drunk driver and for me to do the books. And I don't know what it was, but I changed my course of, my career course at that point. And I sat down and I started doing the books, but we would joke because I had a voice for them. And she says, someday they're going to make a movie of this. And I would do the voice of what they were thinking. And sure enough, they would turn around and do exactly what I said they were saying. So, my honorary mother, Lynn, she just would roll on the floor with it. And that was with Brandy and Chelsea. And thank God she lived long enough to actually see the books become a reality.
And for those people that don't know what the books are, you have an actual series, which I know it's a children's book series, but adults love it also. It's called The Sleepy Town Beagles.
Yes, I do. And actually, Susan, the basis of that was after 9/11, there was so many, parents, children, everybody could not sleep at night. And I was trying to find a safe place for them to be when they'd go to sleep. Parents would say, go to bed and go to sleep. But, there was really no blueprint of what all that was about. So, the books each have a learning lesson, a life learning lesson. And, like there's patience. Panda Meets Miss Daisy Bloom is about patience. But it's all surrounded by Sleepy Town. And
which is the safe place. Yes,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, Tim, you also have a cartoon series too.
Well, I kept having, when I first went to, school after high school, I attended a school in Connecticut, and the dean of the school was Norman Rockwell.
Wow.
And so I loved to draw, but I did a little of everything, commercial art, the whole nine yards, but what I loved to do was cartoons. And of course my father, he looked at that and he says, well, I'm paying all this money for you to draw silly pictures. Well, tell that to Charles M. Schulz. And I was on a flight from Florida to Albuquerque one day, and I had, oddly enough, but my wife always says I can get on a plane and get off that plane with a new best friend, but I'm a talker. And so I was talking to the gentleman next to me who happened, I did not know, he was a TV or a movie producer. And he was like, well, what do you do? And I was telling him, and so he got his iPad out and he goes online. You know, with the airline, you can do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And he goes online, and he's looking at everything. He goes to the cartoons, he goes to the books, and he says, you know, if somebody would have spotted Charles M. Schulz at this point in their life, what a great thing it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the one who pointed that out to me. It wasn't Silly Pictures. Because I was telling him a story about my dad thinking they were just silly pictures that I was drawing. But, you know, the cartoon series basically is from the dog's point of view, how they look at us, how they train us, and the whole nine yards. And so, I mean, we're up to, gosh, I mean, I'm always about 6 months in advance, but I think we're up to over 300 cartoons. It comes out once a week. If people will go to my website, www.timglass.com, they can find the cartoons there, but they can also sign up for my newsletter. And the cartoons I send out once a week, and I send out any book news or anything that I'm doing. When this interview airs, I will do that as well. So if they want to do that, they can do that. But the cartoon series is something I really, really enjoy. I don't know if you were to ask me what I enjoy most. It's a combination. One day I'll do writing, and the next day I'll do the illustration. However, when I'm behind on deadlines, like with my writing on a book, it's solid writing.
Well, and all the stuff that you do, I mean, the way you do it is in such a light, and being a pet parent, I mean, I love that. You know, it is kind of like a like you said, like Charles Schulz, like just a lighter way of dealing with things and with your pets. And so many of us can relate to our pets, and they each have their own personality, and that's what comes across in your books. And, you know, you did write the one that I thought was so inspiring and very heartwarming, which was the book on just the side of heaven. And then, of course, you go into Dog Knows Best, which is so light. It's light reading, but fun reading. And you know, I just want the listeners to know that there's like a wide variety in reading your books. And I think that the pet parent will, as I did, would be able to go through, oh gosh, I could picture this one doing that. Oh gosh, I could picture this one saying that. Oh gosh, I could picture this one thinking this.
Well, like time change. You and I talked about
time
change.
Oh, the time change. I related so well to that chapter.
I mean, every fur child that we've had in our lives, when we fall back or fall forward, they just don't get it. And I mean, I think, you know, it's like I started that chapter, you know, time's been around since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
And how could the human screw that up? And yet we have for them. They don't get it. Their nap time is screwed up. Their bedtime is messed up. Their dinner time. Their
More important,
time.
The feeding times are screwed. They love to spring forward. Don't like the fall back too much.
Exactly. You know, it's just one of those things that, I mean, and then, you know, in the book, I talk about, you know, eating, and we talk about the magic window. And I got to see that personally when we were on a trip from New Mexico to Florida. We did a lot of drive-throughs because we simply couldn't. I'm not going to let my dog in a vehicle, in a hot car or a cold car.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would do is we'd either do a drive-thru, or if we couldn't get through the drive-thru, what we would do is Kathy would run in, get our lunch, and we'd eat on the road, and we'd stop at a rest area for the pups to eat. Actually, they have three meals a day. They have a little light meal. Our vet is real staunch about that. She says that, you know, it's the best thing to do is to do small meals rather
than
large.
That's what I do with mine, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when we went through a drive-through, I mean, Panda and Tyler stood up, and it was like the light came on, and it was like, oh, wow, because they could smell the food coming out of this window. And, you know, it was like the magic window, you know. And
and again, I could like relate that. To that. I take Olive with me everywhere. I have other dogs at home, but I take Olive with me everywhere. And she, of course, we love the drive-through window when there's French fries coming through it. But she does the same thing at the bank. She does the same thing when I'm driving through to pick up my prescriptions. You know, she comes. She has her carrier that she's all buckled in, and her head will pop out, and everybody knows her because she is like she is the best drive-through window dog. So when I was reading that, I'm going, oh, the magic window. That's how she looks at it, because she is like very savvy to the drive-through window. So I love that, and that's what I'm saying. Like your conversations that Panda had were very relatable to, you know, the pet parent, all of us pet parents out here and it brings a smile to our faces. I'm very sorry for Panda's passing, but I have to tell you that Panda's going to live on because this book is so great, so fun. I think that people are going to really read it with a smile on their face. And though they may have a little bit of a heartstring tug at the end, it's all good because you know that she's still running the show.
Exactly. And I still feel it. I mean, I have to tell you this one story about Panda. I teach writing, and when, you know, we basically lived in the same area for a long period of time, but when we moved to Florida, you know, the black boxes, the suitcases, you know, they hated that because they knew that we would be leaving. Well, actually, we all left together. Well, Panda was the daddy's girl, as I said. And every time I would go to get my briefcase, which is black, but it's smaller than a suitcase. We didn't put two and two together. And I'd come home from class after teaching, and my wife was like, "Your daughter." Mm-hmm. And I, "What? What do you mean?" She says, "Well, every time you leave, she throws a fit. She's barking at the garage door. She wants to go with you." Well, of course, my students said, "Bring her." And the bottom line is we realized it was my briefcase. So I would take all my lessons, put them in my briefcase the night prior to that, put them out in my vehicle, and then she was fine. She thought if the black box came out, I'm going with Dad.
I think that
because
that's
he's
so
the
funny.
Driver.
That is so funny. that is. I think that's how they look at it. They see them. I mean, if I travel and you know, I take all of it me a lot, but my other ones see it. I've had my little Chewini actually jump in the suitcase. I have to like covertly pack my suitcases so that they can't see it. So I know exactly what you're saying in it. And like I said, it's so relatable. Now, Tim, where can the listeners go to learn more about you, learn more about your books, especially Dog Knows Best, which is your most recent one, your cartoon series, everything? You know, you've got a lot going on, and it's all for the good of the animal. So where can we go to learn more about that?
Well, if you go to my website at www.timglass.com, and that's Tim like in Timothy, not Jay like in Jim. The bottom line is if they'll go to timglass.com, there's a place that says to learn more about my books. There's a place to learn more about my artwork, the cartoons. There's links. My cartoons are basically on Go Comics. The books are all over. There's links where you click on the books. You could click if you want an ebook, a hardcover, or you want a paperback. There's ways to do it, as well as our friends over across the pond, because I have a lot of listeners or readership that is in the England area and in other countries as well. As I was telling you prior to this, the cartoons actually took off in England before they ever took off in the United States. So if they want a book, say, from, you know, in the UK, they can obviously go to one of the big box stores, but there's also a place where they can get it, you know, shipping free, which is the Book Depository. There's links to all of my books right there.
Well, Tim.
And there's also about the author if they really want to know about me. But I think it's all about It's all about the dogs.
It is all about the dogs, and you voice it well. So I want to thank you, number one, for being a guest on our show. It was really fun. And I also want to thank you for all you're doing for the animals. You give them such a wonderful voice, and your inspirations there, your little muses. Please give them all a hug and a kiss for us. And for those that have passed, we honor them. So thank you so much for sharing all this with us, and thank you for being a guest on our show.
Thank you, Susan, and my best to everybody in Florida.
Thank you very much. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, Doggy Diva Show listeners. Susan Marie here to take just a half a minute to let you know how much we appreciate your being with us every week to hear great dog tips you can use with your pet, some great stories about rescues, fostering, and some heartwarming stories about second chances for pets who are now in loving forever homes. Be sure to go to our website, thedoggydiva.com, to see pictures of Miss Olive and other dogs we talk about on the show and get to know us a little better. That's thedoggydiva.com, D-O-G-G-Y. We appreciate your feedback, too. Okay, let's get back to the show. Coming up, want a unique way to honor your pet? We've got one for you. Stay close.
We'd like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Rover.com. Rover, the dog people. It's the largest network of five-star pet sitters and dog walkers in North America. If you have dogs, and like me, you're working during the day and can't get home to walk your fur babies, you can just use the Rover app on your Android or iPhone and find a five-star dog walker. Book them, favorite them, and even pay them all through the app. And I know if I'm going away for the weekend or even taking a five-day cruise, I can use the same Rover app to book a pet sitter. By using Rover, my dog walker or pet sitter is trusted, background checked, and is backed by Rover's premium insurance and 24/7 support. And if my dog and I want to meet my pet sitter or dog walker beforehand, we can do that too with a free meet and greet. I personally like that I can get pictures of my dog, a map of her walk, and updates right on the app. It's so cool. We have a special offer for Pet Life Radio listeners, too. Get $25 off your first booking by going to rover.com/Pet Life Radio. Pet Life Radio is all one word, and use the promo code Pet Life Radio. So once again, go to rover.com/Pet Life Radio. Pet Life Radio is all one word, and use promo code Pet Life Radio. Three words for the code and get $25 off your first booking. It's a pawsome deal.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up two bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the third bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Attention, pet parents. No more generic paw prints on your coffee cups. There is a brand new service that enables pet parents to create one-of-a-kind personalized products featuring their own pet's paw prints or photos on them. And you know what makes it even more special is the fact that you are paying it forward with each purchase from Printing Paws. And we have with us today the founder of Printing Paws, Ken Engelman. Welcome, Ken. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Your products are very, I think that they're perfect for our listeners. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and the inspiration for Printing Paws?
I'd be happy to. I live up here in Connecticut, and since 2013, I've been a part of volunteering for our local animal shelter. And because of my career in PR, marketing, and business development, I've developed relationships with some corporate companies that would motivate them to sponsor our fundraising events on a local level. And long story short, I helped create an all-day music festival called Woofstock on the Branford Green. Barca Luau, which was a Hawaiian Luau fundraiser at the Yacht Club, and Animal Carnival, which was a Black Tie Affair fundraiser. And all in all, we've raised over $200,000 for our local animal shelter. And with that, one of the other ideas I had was creating personalized paw prints. And I used my own Jersey girl. She's a pit bull rescue, the most wonderful dog in the world. And we took her paw print to an artist, printed it, scanned it into the computer, digitized it, and I placed her paw print on a sweatshirt. And I put the letters, support your local shelter, underneath. And I started wearing that shirt to every fundraising event that I went to and every adoption event. And everywhere I went, people asked me, oh my, where did you get that? And that's how Printing Paws started. It was a tribute for my Jersey girl, and then also to promote supporting local shelters.
Is she, I just have to ask a question. Is she the beautiful girl in your website?
Yes.
Oh my, she's a beauty. Yeah.
Yeah, she's my baby girl. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that actually started me to start volunteering, because the breed has such a bad rap.
Right.
I do my best to try and change that wherever I can.
Well, I'll tell you what, she photographs beautifully and she's got a big smile, so I could tell she loves what you're doing. I love it because it's personalized. I could get any of my dog's paw prints on there. I could give it as a gift, you know,
right,
for Mother's Day, for Father's Day. You have that personal gift, whether it be a mug, the t-shirt that you're talking about, the sweatshirt, or there were. I take a tote everywhere with me for Olive. We have all of her stuff with us. How does this all happen? Because this is such a great idea.
You know, it all started with the sweatshirt, and then I had a t-shirt, and then I had the window sticker created for the back of my Jeep. And people started asking for tote bags and coffee mugs and jewelry. So I started to source this out and find different partners and different vendors. We now have a stenciling for tattoo service.
I saw that on your website. I found that to be amazing.
It's really exciting because we've had such positive feedback from pet owners, and not just dog owners, but cats and horses and pigs and chickens. And so many different people have different types of pets. They all want this custom personalized paw print on different types of gear. And as you had mentioned before, it's the perfect present for birthdays or Valentine's Day or the holidays. And it also is a fantastic memory to keep your pet's paw print with you forever. Because a pet's paw print is like a person's fingerprint. Each one is unique.
Well, and you have the memorial jewelry. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about that? Because I think that in speaking of memories, I think that that is, I really was intrigued by that.
With my Jersey girl, I don't have her anymore. Unfortunately, I lost her last year to cancer. And with this memory, she'll always be with me. And she'll always be with me on my Jeep with the sticker on there. I have a sticker, her paw print, on my motorcycle.
Mm.
And, of course, some other types of gear. And we've had pet owners contact me to ask if we can take a photo of the clay paw print that a lot of people have, and we've taken the photo and we've digitized it and turned it into some of our gear, whether it's the coffee mug or a t-shirt or the tote bag. So we could work with all different types of photos. And the process is pretty easy. With a cell phone, you take a photo with nice lighting of the paw print and you email it into us, or you upload it to our website and you choose a different product you'd like to buy, and we'll do all the work for you. And within 2 to 4 weeks, we'll send you the product.
Oh.
All of our products are guaranteed. The type of materials that we use for the sweatshirts and t-shirts is extremely premium quality. We want quality products that's going to last a long time. And we believe it's a valuable investment. It's very important because it's personalized to your pet. And so we do our best to be above everybody else.
I love it. I love what you're doing, and I love how it's personalized. And I think that people receiving it as a gift or giving it as a gift or just giving it for themselves. I mean, like you said, with your dog, it's something that you have forever.
A long time ago, I was behind a car in traffic, and I was looking at the magnet that who rescued who, and those popular magnets that have the stock paw print.
Mm-hmm.
And while sitting in traffic one day, the marketing person inside me said, why don't somebody create a personalized paw print? So instead of having a stock paw print, you can have your own. And I said, you know what? I want to start a new trend, but I also want to support local nonprofit animal shelters that do good things in the communities, because they're always looking for ways to fundraise to help support what they do in a local shelter. And that's when I came up with another reason to start printingpaws.com, because a portion of all proceeds goes to community animal shelters and service providers, like some I have listed on our website, printingpaws.com.
Yes, and those are wonderful organizations that you're donating to. One of the things I wanted to ask was, you know, a number of people belong to specific rescues or they work with specific shelters. Could you arrange for the fundraising to be done like for a specific group?
Absolutely. I've had different rescues around North America contact me and ask if we can send them 10% of the proceeds of the purchases, just like I have established with the companies on my website now. And it's just somebody has to contact me. My email address is printingpawsinfo@gmail.com. And I believe that's listed in my press release I sent over to you, your website. But if, for example, you go to printingpaws.com/BAAC, which stands for Bikers Against Animal Cruelty, and it's a specific landing page that we created for their members to purchase products from printingpaws.com. And 10% of every order that comes through that landing page goes directly to back to them and their fundraising. So we can do this with any true nonprofit 501c3 in North America. So we can be used as a fundraising service for them.
How perfect. And, you know, I really like it that that with one of the groups that you're donating to is the Bikers Against Animal Cruelty, because April is Prevent Animal Cruelty Month. And how perfect for our listeners to be able to talk to you at this time, because this is really special. And, you know, if they make a general purchase, it will go back to that. And you have three other groups that I believe that, that you give to a percentage of, which is wonderful. And now, if the listeners want to order something, I know that on your website, it pretty much takes them to the process. And you just gave us like kind of like a four-step. It's simple. It's like a four-step process.
Right. It's a very easy process. You go to our website, printingpaws.com. You choose the different types of gear or merchandise you're interested in purchasing. You then take a photo of your pet's paw print, the bottom pad of the paw. You upload it to the website, or you could email it into us, and then you pay for it. And in 4 to 6 weeks, we'll send you the product. And we guarantee satisfaction, because this is another way to brand your local shelter or your personalized phrase or statement. So we want it to be as perfect as possible, because I know I would.
Oh, definitely. And that's and it's wonderful, as I said, for gift giving, for yourself, for fundraising. I mean, there's so many ways to utilize this. It's, you know, it's a really great idea. Now, where can the listeners go to learn more about you and to learn more about Printing Paws?
To learn more about myself and my partners, it's important to note, the name of the company is Build Your Own Brand Printing and Design. Melissa and Jimmy are our screen printer and marketing partners. And together we've implemented this printingpaws.com. You could go to printingpaws.com, which has all of our information, of course. And I'm sure if you Google my name, Ken Engelman, with Animal Rescue, it'll pop up and all the different programs and fundraisers I've developed since 2013 when I started volunteering will pop up. A lot of it will be located in Brantford, Connecticut, where I am located, but we're looking to start helping more animals on a nationwide plan.
And one of the things that I'm going to do, Ken, because I really love what you're doing, I am going to feature it. My little sidekick here, my co-host, Miss Olive, she is. She writes for a magazine, Suncoast Pet Magazine, and she has Miss Olive's favorite things. And what we'd like to do is put Printing Paws into the next issue, so as one of her favorite things. So I just want you to know that, and I'd like the listeners to know that, and I know a lot of my listeners read Suncoast Pet Magazine, so I just want you all to know that, is that this is one of our favorite things. I love what you're doing, and I love why you're doing it, so
Thank you. I appreciate that. And anyone could reach out to me anytime. I'll be happy to talk about printing paws, how we can work a special fundraising program for them and their nonprofit, or just discuss animal rescue and different services to help continue doing what we all do, because we're all in this together.
We're all in it together. That's right. Well, and
I want to share my cell phone number and my email address with you, if I may.
Yes.
So my cell phone number is 201-638-7141. And my email address, as listed on printingpaws.com, printingpawsinfo@gmail.com.
Well, I thank you again. I thank you, Ken, for being a guest on our show. And I want to thank you also for all that you're doing for the animal. What you're doing is so kind, so generous, and you're personalizing things, whether it be a pet that's with us or a pet that's passed over the bridge. You're personalizing things and enabling us to really celebrate something personal as opposed to just a generic, like we said, a generic paw print. I appreciate what you're doing, and I love your product.
Thank you so much.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.